people add significance. Okay, we're going to start today at Masechet Ketubot. Okay, I don't want to get too much into the Ketubah because we're going to see a lot of that later. We also discussed it somewhat in Yevamot, but I'll just preface it very briefly. First of all, Ketubot is a Masechet that has a lot of diverse things in it. It's a very basic Masechet. It's one of the Masechet that they learn in yeshivas as opposed to Yevamot, which they don't necessarily learn very often. Although, as we saw yesterday, right, there's a lot of very relevant cases, and as we saw throughout the Masechet, a lot of relevant topics that come up in Yevamot, but it's not the most learned Masechet. Ketubot, on the other hand, is. It's a very interesting one. Gets into a lot of issues. There's also Dine Mamonot, there's Dine Ishut, it's all sorts of interesting things. The Ketubah itself, important to say, we've said this a few times, but I'll repeat it, a Ketubah is not, you can get married without a Ketubah. In other words, it's not a marriage contract, right? It's a contract that goes along with the marriage, but it's not what makes you married. Okay, what makes you married is giving a ring or money, or we learn you could give a shtar, or you could have sex, and that would marry people, even though the rabbis were against that. But midoraita, you could do that.
You don't need witnesses?
So you need witnesses that you probably, for getting married through sex, you probably need witnesses, I don't remember, but that you went into a room together. I guess, right. I guess that's how it would work. So that's marriage. But along with marriage, there was an issue that a man create a ketubah for his wife to basically commit to her money in the event of death or divorce, he will take care of her. Okay? What it also means, though, is not just in the event of death and divorce, but as long as we're married, and we're going to see some of this today, I will support you. I will give you food, a place to live. Okay? The main issue really is the mizonot. And we've talked about this also, that once they get divorced, okay, or he dies, she continues to get, let's say it's a monthly stipend for food until such time as, and we'll see exactly what time, but either she's looking to get remarried or she gets remarried, in which case she says, okay, now I want my lump sum money that you committed in the ketubah. It's like a lump sum, you know, a lump of money of matayim zuz if she's a betula, and almana gets less money, she's worth less money, okay? She gets only mazus. That amount, you know, she gets a lot more than that, really, because she gets food all the time. As soon as she's ready to move on, okay, we'll see exactly what it means, move on, there's a sticking about it, but as soon as she moves on to someone else and she's no longer connected to the husband's house, she can't get mizonot anymore, but she can demand her ketubah money then. If she demands her ketubah money earlier, like let's say she doesn't plan to get remarried, but she just demands her ketubah money, that's the end of mizonot. Okay, that she's done. So usually they waited to do that until they really weren't going to get mizonot anymore. So it's a way of protecting the woman, and it's a way of also making sure that the man doesn't divorce the woman so easily. Okay, we're going to see some other things about that here. In today's sugya, about preventing the man from kind of throwing the woman out quickly on a whim. Okay, today we have a very interesting Mishnah, which was a Mishnah that the Emoraim had trouble understanding what exactly the reason is and what's going on here. We'll read the Mishnah. I'll bring up that Safrai claims, this is a book, Mishnat Eretz Yisrael, it's an excellent book. We didn't have it on Yevamot, they didn't come out with it yet, so now we have it on Ketubot. He talks about the fact that there were some issues about the development of this Mishnah, and it could be that the Mishnah, the way we see it today, isn't actually the original Mishnah. Okay, we're going to see a halacha, we're going to see a reason, and he claims that it's possible the reason wasn't written in the Mishnah, and the reason he's going to say that is because you already see other Tanaim and other Emoraim even, okay, or early Shmuel, early Emora, disagreeing with the reason given in the Mishnah. And generally, an Emora wouldn't come and disagree with the reason given in the Mishnah, so he claims that it's possible, or he thinks it's definitely likely, that the Mishnah didn't have the reason in it, and all the reasons are basically conjecture. There's going to be three different reasons that we're going to see. And the Mishnah gives one, and there's going to be, the Gemara is going to say, wait, there's a problem with this reason given in the Mishnah. Okay, and they're going to have issues with it, and then we're going to talk about it. Bitula niseit liyom harivi'i. Women should generally, a bitula, if she's not married, if she's a virgin, she should get married on yom rivi'i. Valmana liyom hachamishi. And the almana, the widow, who's obviously not a virgin anymore, should get married on yom chamishi. Why? Why is it relevant what night of the week, right? Nowadays, people get married on any night of the week. Why does the Mishnah start out, right? It's interesting. The Mishnah starts out with halacha that's totally not relevant anymore, right? And nobody does this anymore.
And this is Nisuin, not Kiddushin.
This is Nisuin, okay? We're so let's preface also. Let's go backwards. And this is also important even for today's shiur. There were two different... Nowadays, we do Erusin, which is also known as Kiddushin, under the chuppah. We read the ketubah, which is a way of just making a separation between the Kiddushin or Erusin stage and the Nisuin. In those days, they did them a year before the Erusin, okay? They would get engaged, okay? They got engaged a year before. Then they would wait. She would still be in her father's house for a year. If you remember, we actually saw there was a different minhag. There was the Galil and the Yehuda. In Yehuda, they actually would have sex before the marriage. Do you remember that? After they were engaged, they would often have sex with their husbands. But in the Galil, and we're going to see, this is clearly talking about the Galil minhag, not the Yehuda minhag, because otherwise it doesn't make sense. And the Galil minhag was that she would be in her father's house. They wouldn't sleep together at all. Only after the marriage, okay, which is knisa b'chupa, which also there's different opinions. What does it mean, knisa l'chupa? Is it actual yichud? Is it standing under a canopy like we have? There's a third opinion that, forget what it is, but there's different opinions about what exactly it means, knisa tachat l'chupa. Okay, so basically there's marriage and there's engagement. We're talking now about marriage. When do you do the marriage? So she gets married on a Wednesday, okay? Presumably, right, it's unclear whether this is Tuesday night, Wednesday night, right? If we're talking about Wednesday night going into Thursday, we're talking about Tuesday night going into Wednesday, right? Unclear here. She gets married on Wednesday. Probably it really meant Wednesday, like during the day or in the evening leading toward Thursday. You'll see why in a minute. Why? So now the Mishnah gives its reason, and this is what I want to question, whether this really is part of the Mishnah or not. Shepa'amim b'shabbat. Pa'amayim b'Shabbat. Shabbat means Shavua. Okay, like Sheva Yimei Shabbata in Chav Miyodeh, right? 7 days of the week. Hayom Yom Sheni b'Shabbat. Okay, means week. There's twice during the week. Shabbatei Dinim Yoshvim ba'ayarot. Ba'yom HaSheni u'ba'yom HaChamishi. Why is this relevant? She'im hayalo tanat betulim hayamashkim lebeit din. If he had an issue that he didn't think his wife was a virgin, he would go to the court the next morning. He'd be able to go immediately, okay, the next morning. Now, there's a few things that are very unclear here. Question number one.
Why can't she get married on a Sunday?
Exactly. Why can't she get married on a Sunday? Right? This reason seems to apply. There's two possible days of the week she could get married. It doesn't explain, by the way, why the Almana gets married on Yom Chamishi. She could get married any night then, because obviously there's no Ta'anah Betulim by the Almana. That's why she's different. So why she got married on Thursday is also unclear. What other issues are here? Why do we care that he bring the Tanah Betulim right away, number one? And why is this Tanah Betulim such a critical issue? So also this is unclear. Are we worried? Is it financial that he says, hey, I gave her a ketubah of 200 zuz, and really she's only deserving of a ketubah of 100 zuz? Are we concerned that maybe she had sex when she was engaged with some other man? Now, a woman who's engaged halachically, right? Not nowadays, because nowadays engagement is irrelevant halachically. Although Seth mentioned a psak yesterday, if you recall, where they took engagement as a way to say, oh, they're really, you know, connected already and therefore can pop. But generally, engagement doesn't mean anything. But those days, once you were engaged, if you had sex with another man, what do we say? Asur labal and asur laboel. She is no longer allowed to be married. And it could be that they wanted to ensure that she wasn't a zona, you know, she wasn't sleeping around while she was engaged. It wasn't an eshadish who slept with someone else. And wanted to make sure that the Gemara is going to talk about, they don't want nitkarira da'ato, that he won't be so angry anymore, right? Can you imagine? The first night he was so angry. Oh my God, my wife's a virgin. It's not a virgin. They want him to go to court the next day so that he'll get rid of her. Because really, it's a sore for him to be with her. Okay, but again, like, why are we concerned that we have to, it's almost like fia datit, right? We're trying to impose upon him to come to the court. They're trying to make the situation ideal so that he'll go immediately, because if he waits a few days, he might forget, he might not be so upset anymore, he'll get over it. So what exactly is this Tana Petulim and why is it so critical is a question, okay? Is it because of the financial issue? Is it because of the, we're worried Nizkarat Ato? Is there something else to play here? So we'll talk about this as we go on. Okay. Now, we're going to have Rav Yosef ask the question here. I'm Rav Yosef, I'm Rav Yehuda, I'm Rav Shmuel. Okay, so Rav Yosef, it's important to remember this, because Rav Yosef after is going to ask a question. But first he passes on the Torah of Rav Yehuda, who said in the name of Shmuel. Remember, Shmuel is the generation right after the Mishnah. Okay, he's the first generation Amoraim. Rav and Shmuel are the main rabbis then, in Bavel. Mipnei ma'amru betulani seit layom ha'revi'i. Why did they say on Yom HaRevi'i? Okay, now here he's going to give a different reason. Not the reason given in the Mishnah, right? So you have to wonder why. This is exactly why Safrai claims maybe this reason wasn't even written in the Mishnah. Because why is Shmuel asking? It already said it in the Mishnah. So what does he say? Lefisha Shaninu, because we learn, he in a different Mishnah in Ketubot, he giyazman v'lo niso. Okay, now we're going to learn a new halakha. I told you that we do Kiddushin, and a year later they would get married. Now a year later, on the dot, mizono kick in, whether he marries her or not.
What's the difference between Kiddushin and Erusin?
It's the same thing. Kiddushin and Erusin are interchangeable. They mean the same thing. So he gets engaged to her. A year later, no matter what, whether he marries her or doesn't marry her, right? Assuming he doesn't give her a get. We learned already. You need a get from Kiddushin, okay? If you get engaged, halachically, you need a get. So assuming he doesn't divorce her, and he just doesn't marry her, the week comes, it's exactly a year to the dot, clock starts ticking, he has to pay mizono, okay? Because we learned already that the ketubah isn't, unless there were some cases we saw where the man gave a ketubah anyway earlier, but generally the ketubah started from the time of the marriage. So, which makes sense. It's saying, I'll provide you shelter and all that, and he doesn't provide her shelter at that point.
Does he have to provide a ketubah?
Yes. Yes. Sorry. And we'll see, we're going to see all sorts of sugyas that talk about even that the money that he commits in the ketubah is as if it's like set aside already in an escrow account. Yeah, it's like there, and it's such a strong chov that it's stronger than a loan, let's say, or other things, because everybody does it, and the beitim will force him to do it if he doesn't do it. Okay, it's money that has to be there. So now, but again, only from the time of marriage. So here we say in the Mishnah, if he giyazman, he's supposed to marry her, v'lo niso, and they don't get married, okay? V'lo nisu, sorry, they didn't get married. Ochlot mishelo v'ochlot b'truma. They can already start eating his food, and if he's a kohen, they can start eating truma. So now, yechol hi giyazman be'echa b'shabbat, yehem ala l'mezono. Let's say the date, exactly 12 months, comes out on a Sunday. So you might think that he's supposed to give her mezono starting from Sunday. Lechach shaninu, that's what our Mishnah comes to teach us. Bitulani seit liyom harevi'i, the clock only starts ticking on Wednesday of that week. It's a year, and it might be a year plus a few days, okay? Because generally, now you have to say, according to this, generally women got married on Wednesdays, or people got married on Wednesdays, and because of that, the clock only starts ticking on Wednesday. Now again, we're not exactly sure, this doesn't really answer the question, because it doesn't really explain, and the Gemara is going to say right away, this didn't really answer your question. This is just answering your question by giving another piece of information, but not answering really why this is. Why were they getting married on Yom Rav'i?
It gives them like 3 more days?
Well, we'll see. We'll see. It does give him 3 days, but we'll see why. No, but that's only if it happens to fall on a Sunday. So it's just telling you this other halacha that since, it's more like not why, but it's since women only got married, or since, again, people, I'm only saying women because it's relevant to the women here. Since people only got married on Wednesday, the clock only starts ticking Wednesday of whatever week it comes out.
Why didn't they insist they got married the Wednesday before?
Right, so they don't. That's the point. The point is they wait till that week, and then from there the chiyuv is chal, but it might get pushed off a few days. So now, what do they say? I'm Rav Yosef. So now Rav Yosef passes on this Torah. And now he says, Mari de Avraham, it's like a way of swearing, Tale Tanya, B'delo Tanya. So what does this mean? It means it's not clear exactly what this means, but you've depended one Mishnah on another Mishnah, but you didn't really explain yourself. So now they say, what do you mean? Hey Tanya, v'hey lo Tanya, which is the one that you learned something from something that we didn't Tali Tanya, but Delo Tanya means exactly we. One second.
Why were they both taught?
Right. So there's one. Right. So one Mishnah is taught and one isn't taught, and you're depending one Mishnah that's taught on a Mishnah that's not taught. So now the Gemara says, what are you talking about? So first of all, just an issue. How does Rav Yosef, if he brought this Torah, why is he asking a question on it? So you could say he's bringing it, and then he's asking a question. Some people say, and we've seen this a bunch of times with Rav Yosef, when he got older, he forgot a lot of things. And it could be Abaye is always reminding him of things he forgot. And it could be that he just forgot what was going on here. So now, what do they say? Hey Tanya, hey Lo Tanya. What do you mean? They're both shnuyim. They're both learned. What do you mean you learned one that's learned from one that's not learned? They're both learned. So ha Tanya v'ha Tanya. You're right, they're both learned. Elatani Tanya de mifarish tama, b'detanya de lo mifarish tama. You're taking our Mishnah, which had a reason in it, and you're basing it on a different Mishnah, which didn't give a reason. Right? That mishnah just told you a halacha. It didn't say why Wednesday was unique, that the women were getting married then. It just told you that. So now they basically say that couldn't be what Shmuel said. Ela itmar hachi itmar. This must be what Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Mipnei ma'amru betulani seit liyom ha-revi'i. Why did they say it on Yom Revi'i? So now we're going to go back and explain it according to our lashon in the Mishnah. Shim hayalo ta'anat betulim hayamashkim lebeitim v'tinas. Okay, so what's the reason? Exactly like it says in the Mishnah, that if he had a ta'anat betulim, he would go to the beitim, right? But then what's our question? Like we asked, v'tinas seba ha-shabbat. Like Naomi said, why don't we then get married on Sunday? She'im hayalo ta'anat betulim hayamashkim lebeitim. So what do they say? Ah, they add a different reason now. Okay, this is an additional reason to our Mishnah. Shakdu chachamim al takanat benot Yisrael, sheyehe torech b'suda shlosha yamim, echa b'shabbat v'sheni b'shabbat v'shlishi b'shabbat, ubirivi'i konsa. What does this mean? The rabbis, okay, this is a great thing. Who plans weddings generally? The woman or the man?
Women, but his.
The women. Here they're saying they did it on Wednesday so that the man would have 3 days to put in all his efforts to get the si'uda ready. Okay? I don't know what he was doing, how he was preparing, right? The women are always the ones in the kitchen, even in the Gemara. It's not, you know. So anyway, why do they want him to prepare? Again, it's the same thing. They don't want him. They want him to make some effort. They want him to be involved so that he doesn't just divorce her in a second and say, oh, you know, this isn't good. They want him to put in effort, the same reason why they give him a ketubah. They don't want to make it kal lahotzia. If he puts in 3 full days of effort into making this wedding party, he's not going to just come the next morning if he wants to, what was the issue? If he wanted to get out of it, he would come the next morning and say, oh, I didn't find betulim. But they don't want him to lie about it, right, just to get out of the marriage. So basically, they say the rabbis made it so that they would have 3 full days to work on the suudah, and therefore they did it on, right? How many people don't like to fly Saturday night, right? You don't have Shabbat to prepare, right? It's kind of like that, okay? In those days, they need a lot more time, right? They need to cook for everybody. They didn't have freezers or anything. So they basically gave them 3 full days, right? Maybe they need 3 full days, but basically they have a few days ratzuf before, right? As opposed to having Shabbat in the middle. And that's why they did it on Rabbi. And now, v'achshav sheshaninu, now we're going to connect this to the other Mishnah. And then since we have this other reason, sheshakdu, okay, since we learned this reason that the chachamim made sure that they wanted the men to work hard, ota sheshaninu, higiyaz man v'lo nisu, ochlot mishalo v'lcho b'truma, right, then we lead that into the next Mishnah, right, higiyaz man b'echa b'shabbat, so ochlot b'truma, okay, so that explains now. And then, right, higiyaz man be'echa b'shabbat, mitoch she'eino yachol lichnos, eino ma'ale lemezono, right? And therefore, since if the exactly year date comes out on a Sunday, since he can't marry her that day, since he has to be torech b'suda 3 days, and get married on Wednesday, therefore, what do we say? We say very simply, the clock only starts ticking from Wednesday, he's only chayav mezonot on Wednesday. Okay? Yafe. So now,
I just have a quick question. Yeah. You're saying there's two Mishnahs.
There's two Mishnahs. One much later in the Masechet.
Oh, it's not.
Yeah,
here.
It's not here. Okay. They're just quoting it. It's on Memchet. Okay. I think it's on Memchet. It definitely appears. It's much later in the Masechet.
Okay.
There's two Mishnayot that they're connecting. First, it seemed like they were saying the reason for our Mishnah is in that Mishnah. Mm-hmm. They said, "What are you talking about? That Mishnah doesn't give any reason at all." Then they said, oh no, the reason is this, which doesn't appear in any Mishnah. And that's why also Safrai was claiming that, right, the Mishnah is a little not clear because it's either giving a reason that's not relevant. By the way, there's other reasons given. Another reason given is, we're going to see it on Daf Hei, Bar Kapara says, and it comes up in the Yerushalmi, that the Dagim were created on the 5th day, and it says, Vayivarecho Tam Elohim, and because of that, they say that's why we get married on that day, because we should be fruitful like the Dagim. Okay? That they were blessed on that day.
I thought it was Tuesday for that.
Bit of a problem, because that's Yom Chamishi. So it sounds more like the Almanah.
Yes.
Instead of the Yom Revi'i. And then you'd have to say Revi'i is Revi'i going into Chamishi. Then there's issues of Pamayim Kitov, okay, which we've heard. So there's different reasons given. There's another one. 1 second. Right, so those are the three, basically, the three that we saw. One is the Tana Petulim. One is that he has 3 days to get the Seuda together, which kind of might go together with the first reason, right, in terms of the Beit Din also. It's the combination, the 3 days and then leading into the day that the Beit Din is there working. And the third is this issue of Bar Kapara about going back to Briyat HaOlam and either saying, because of the Dagim, or maybe the Pamayim Kitov that we talked about, that everybody hears about. Anyway, those are reasons given. So now, what we see is that it's not so clear, and Safrai claims, really, that the Mishnah didn't have the reason in it, and later the reason got added into the Mishnah. Okay. Whether that's true or not, I don't know, but that's what he says. So now we're going to have a question. What do we see from here? We see from here that you have this year, right? We're going to go back to the other Mishnah now. You have this year, basically, and as soon as the year starts, if you didn't get married, he's chayv and mizono. Now, we all know that sometimes factors happen that are beyond our capabilities, right? Something happens and he gets sick, she gets sick, she's nidah, okay? Which, depending on how you understand chuppah, if chuppah is yichud, well, then they can't do yichud if she's in nidah, which means that they can't get married. So if one of these things were to happen, the Gemara wants to know, what's the halacha? Okay? So lefichach, they say, halahi osha chaltahi, sorry, halahu osha chaltahi, osha persa nida, eno ma'alela mizonot. Okay? So the Gemara says, according to your, if it is that they can't get married till Wednesday, because the rabbi said they can't get married till Wednesday, right? So what do we say? Because of that, we're going to basically, the clock doesn't start ticking yet. So the Gemara says, well, then let's assume the same thing. If there's something beyond their right, it's called onus, really. We're going to see this a lot today. Onus, okay? Onus means it was something beyond your control. So if he got sick, or she got sick, or she became a nida, he doesn't have to give her mizonot yet. The clock doesn't start ticking, because it wasn't his fault or her fault that they didn't get married. So now we're going to have a question on this. Some people ask a question. Halahu mahu. Is this a really accurate comparison, comparing this takanat hachamim that you can only get married on a Wednesday, and because of that, from Sunday to Wednesday, I guess it's not helping with the sun, from Sunday to Wednesday, it works, or, you know, you don't have to start paying, or do we say that maybe it's different, this takanat hachamim, from somebody getting sick? Let's see what they say. Hatam ta'amamai mishum da'anis. Do we say that there it's beyond his control? Because the Chachamim said you can't get married Sunday, so therefore we push off his piyuv. And here also it was beyond his control. O Dilma, hatam anis betakanta detkinu le rabbanan. Hachalo. Right? There it was an onus that was caused by a takana of Chachamim. That is a much more stronger onus and a stronger claim of his than, oh, I just got sick and I couldn't marry her. Okay, this is like, right, you bring an excuse to the teacher, I didn't do my homework, right? How legitimate is your excuse? Is it a really good excuse? Is it a pretty good excuse, right? So that's the question. Is this excuse, I was sick and I couldn't marry her, as strong as, I couldn't marry her because the rabbis won't let me marry her? Obviously, not letting the rabbi, right, the rabbis won't let me marry her is much stronger than, oh, I got sick and I couldn't do it. And then they're going to ask further, okay? This is just a question. They don't have an answer yet. Then they say, v'imtim tzalomer chalahu ma'alela mezonot. And if you're going to say, he got sick, he still has to give her mezonot. B'chaltam hi mahu. But what if she gets sick? Amarla, matze amarla, ana ha'kaimna. Okay? He could say to her, I'm here, I'm ready to get married. It's your fault we're not getting married. Okay? So even if he has to give her mezonot if it's his fault, but what if it's not his fault? And he's standing there ready to get married and it's her fault, maybe he doesn't have to give her mezonot. O Dilma, Matya Amrle, or maybe she could say, Nistapcha Sadehu. Tough luck. Okay? Like, what is Nistapcha Sadehu? It means you bought a field and then the field got, you know, went bad. Okay? That's your fault. You can't go back to the owner and say, look what happened to my field. That's like you bought it and something went wrong and it's not his fault anymore. So she could say the same thing about her, okay? So again, we see this a lot where they compare the marriage to a kinyan, right? To he acquires her, basically. And she says, yeah, you bought me and look, I got messed up. I got sick and it's, you know, it's your fault. The intim tzalomar, even if you were to say then, amrale nistapchas sadehu, and therefore he still has to start paying her because it's his tough luck. Pirsanida mahu. Maybe pirsanida would be something different. Why? Bishat vesta. Now they say, wait. Bishat vesta, if it's that she got her period at the time she was expected to get her period, loti baila. Delomate amrle nistapasade. She can't say things got messed up because that was planned. They knew it all along. Kiti baila shalo bishat vesta mai. In other words, when it's not bishat vesta, how do we treat it? If all of a sudden she gets her period, out of the blue, right, which could happen, right, sometimes out of nervousness and things like that, but women can get a period early. Is it, now we're going to see the two options. Kevan delo b'shach v'shta havyamatze amrale nistapchat sadehu. Since it's not the time of her vesta, she could say to him, listen, sorry, it's your tough luck. And therefore, he has to pay the mazonot. O dilma kevan de'i kanashe dekamishnaye v'stayu kishat v'sta dame. Or do you say, since there are some women who don't have regular cycles, therefore, it's as if it's shat v'sta. In other words, if it's b'shach v'sta, well then, he would have to start paying because he knew to expect that. So therefore, I'm sorry, no, you would say the opposite. It would be dafka that he wouldn't have to start paying because, one second, why would, what would be the logic here? If it's shapesta, you would say, one second.
He should have to pay because he bought somebody who doesn't have regular periods.
No, so nistapasa deu means this. Nistapasa deu means, It's your tough luck. Really, the way they read it's your tough luck is it's your bad mazal that caused it to happen. Whereas if she gets her period when it's a regular cycle, or you assume that any woman can get her period at any time, and that then you say that's not his bad luck, that's her. That's her issue and not his. And once it becomes her issue, well, then it's mazona.
So
he doesn't have to pay the mazona.
Engage whether she has regular periods or not regular periods?
Right. So apparently not. But this is a good question, right? Right. It's a good way to look at it. So anyway, so therefore, they want to know, what do we say in all these situations? So Pashi Rav Achai, he explains like this. He gives man below nisu. Now he's going to learn it from the Lashon and the Mishnah. He's going to be very careful with the Lashon and say, well, look what it says here. He gives man below nisu. Okay, what does it say? The time came and they didn't get married. Now it doesn't say, okay, we'll see in a second. Ochlo v'shalo v'ochlo b'tshuma. Lo nasu lo katane. It doesn't say, and he didn't marry her. It says, ella lo nisu. They didn't get married, which is interesting because often the marriage is recorded as he marries her, right? And in this case, it says they didn't get married. They didn't get married seems to imply her fault, his fault. It doesn't matter whose fault. He has to start paying the mazono. So now they say, what's this case of lo nisu? Hechidami. Idikama akvan inhi. If she was ma'akev on purpose, right, then amay ochlot mishalov ochlot b'truma. If it's her fault and she just didn't show up to the wedding, well, of course she can't claim mazono. That's her fault that she didn't come. So elalav, it must be, if she didn't, if it, right, it was her fault, it must be that it's talking about di'itnis, right? That she was anus, okay, which is exactly our case. The woman was anus either because she was pirsanida or because she got sick. So kiagavna, right? Deinis kiagavna, like we said. Ukatane ochlo mishalov ochlo b'truma. So what do you see? Even if she's anus, he still has to pay. He can't say, oh, well, I showed up. Okay? It's either one of them. Rav Ashi answers differently. Am Rav Ashi lo olam emelcha kol onsa lo achla utikamakave inhu utikamakave inhu. Ubedinu di baile lamine lo nis nasu. As he says, it's kol onsa lo achla. Any onus of hers, she doesn't eat. Okay, and it's talking about that he was ma'akev. He disagrees. Okay, so we have one approach that said lo nisu. They didn't get married means it's her fault also, right? And even if it's her fault, meaning because she was anus, right? Then he still has to pay. But according to Rav Ashi, no, it's only onus that he causes, he would have to pay. But if she causes it, she doesn't. So what does he do with the word nisu? He says, ubedinu di baile lemitne lo nasu. It should have said lo nasu. Va'adi t'tana resha b'diti, tananami sefa b'diti. Since the topic of the Mishnah was relating to the woman, okay, it was talking about that after 12 months, by the way, I didn't tell you this, but the Mishnah says there that for a regular woman, a betulah, it's after 12 months. For an almanah, it's only 30 days. Because, first of all, why did they give them all this time? I forgot to mention this. This is important. Why did they give them all this time? They needed to get themselves ready and dresses and all the stuff, the preparations for the wedding. So they gave them a year to get ready. Whereas an almanah, second wedding, not as much of a big deal. Okay. What's interesting about this masechet is there a kovel? What?
The almanah had to wait 3 months anyhow, no matter what.
No, but it doesn't. No, that's 3 months after her husband died. This is from the time they get engaged. Now, could be if they got engaged immediately, then she'd have to wait a little longer. But in terms of getting ready for the seudah, that issue, they only need 30 days.
Do they have to use the whole time? Are they allowed to get married?
That's a good question. I don't know the answer to that question. It's a good question. The other thing, right, what's interesting in this Masechta, you already see two cases. One, our Mishnah, where the way the Gemara explained it anyway is, he has to be Torech B'Seuda, right? And then the 12 months so that she can prepare herself for the wedding. It's all taking into consideration realistic factors that go on in wedding preparations. And right, it's not just halacha, right? Halacha relates to the what's going on in the times. Okay, now we're going to get into a very interesting sugya. So we basically have two things. Is it his onus or her onus, right? In other words, two different opinions about whether, if she's anusa, whether she also gets to claim his onus or not. Now, Amar Rava Ule Inyan Gitin Eino Kein. When it comes to get, we don't say the same Ta'anat Onus. What have we seen here? The Ta'anat Onus, okay, Ta'anat Onus works, right, to say that if she's, right, if he's anus, one second, this is all based on, right, in other words, the point being that he doesn't have to, according to this, right, we said, right, the what we claimed from Rabbi Yosef in the name of Rabbi Yehuda and the name of Shmuel is based on this. If he's onus, right, then he, or she's onus, right, depending on how we understand it, he doesn't need to give her mizono, okay? If, right, the assumption is after 12 months the clock starts ticking, but not if there was something beyond their control, okay? So now. Now, Rava says that doesn't work by get. Okay, what do we mean by get? Get, you could give a get al tanai. Okay, this is very popular. Someone goes abroad, and they're not sure they're going to show up again. So what do they say? This all relates to the aguna stuff we talked about. Let's say he's smart enough, and before he goes abroad or before he goes out to war, he says to his wife, if I don't show up in a year, this will be your get. Or I don't show up in 30 days, this will be a get. Okay? Now, what was his intent? Probably. Then maybe I'll die. And what's the issue if I die? Number one, you won't know I'm dead. So at least this way, you'll have an out. Or he doesn't want her to do yibum with the brother, right? If he doesn't have kids, he doesn't like the concept of her marrying the brother. Or he doesn't want her to have to go through a chalitza ceremony, maybe. I don't know. He has rachmanut on her. And he says, then you'll have a get and you won't have to deal with yibum at all. Okay. So now what if he says, if I don't come back within 12 months, and then what happens? He shows up, you know, 12 months and a day. And he says, yeah, I couldn't get there. Something happened, right? I never meant for this to be a get. Okay? So, Rava says, no go. Le'in yagidin eino kein. We don't do this by get. We're going to see why. Okay? See why in a little while. I'm not sure if we'll get to it today. Or, yeah, at the very end of the daf. So now, Alma kasava Rava, from here we learn, ein onus begitin. Okay? That's what he means to say. There's no ta'anav onus begitin. Now, the Gemara wants to know, where does Rava learn this from? Okay, I'm going to give you the structure right now. I tried to do it on the sheet, but I ran out of time, so I didn't finish it. But Rava is basically going to first bring two Tanaitic sources. Okay, remember the difference between Tana and Emora, right? Tana is Mishnah time period, always stronger. If you can bring a proof from there, you're in good shape. In the end, he can't bring from those two Tanaitic sources. He goes to an Emora, like a story that happened. He tries to prove it from there. Can't prove it from there. In the end, they say it must be, this is all the Gemara trying to figure out what was his reason. They didn't ask him directly. He obviously wasn't there anymore. So they then say it must be he came up with his own interpretation. Okay? And it was his chiddush. Okay? Which is always a little less stronger. On the other hand, it was Rava. It wasn't like some random guy. So in the end, he has a good claim. And then they explain what his reasoning is. So that's the way the sugya is going to go. So now, where does he learn this from? If you say we're going to learn it from this Mishnah, a Mishnah in Gittin. Okay? This will be your get if you don't come within from now till 12 months from now. If I don't show up, okay? Umeit betoch 12 chodesh. Eino get. Okay? If he were to die, now this goes against what I told you before. According to this, you'll see what. If he were to die within the 12 months, it's not a get. Now, the first thing, we'll get to this in a minute, why this doesn't work. But the first thing the Gemara is going to infer from here is, only if he died is it not a get. Okay? Meitu de eino get. But ha-chala, if he were to have gotten sick and didn't come back, what do you assume then? Hare ze get. It's only in the case of death it's not a get. They're assuming when the Mishnah says if he dies, it's not a get. Only if he dies, it's not a get. Any other reason... would still the get would be good. In other words, he didn't fulfill his tanai, even though he was anus, right? Even though he was sick, and because he was sick, he couldn't get there. We're going to see in a minute why, okay? Vidilma, they say, no, maybe, Lol, the assumption is that the chiddush here, okay, this is very important. The chiddush here is that mate ain't no get, right? But chala, it would be a get, right? That's the assumption made, that that's why they stress mate, it's not a get, because chala would be a get. Now they're going to say...
Is that because after he dies, that the get you can't have a get because he's
exactly,
dead already?
Exactly, you can't, not a bet, exactly, not a valid exactly. Get. We're going to say that in a second. Which is ain get la'achar mita. The reason for this Mishnah is not to teach you mate, no, would it, you know, it, you wouldn't be a get. Chala would be a get. It has nothing to do with chala. It's just coming to teach you that ain get la'achar mita. Well, which I'll explain in 1 minute. It's what Debbie's getting at. Okay? Ain get la'achar mita. It's coming to teach you a specific halacha, and therefore it has nothing to do with the chala case. It's just talking about death. Okay? So now let's read. U'vidilma lo'olam ain malacha chala nami ain no get. You'd say chala also wouldn't be a get. But this Mishnah is specifically coming to teach you de ain get la harmita. What does it mean, ain get la harmita? You say this will be your get if I don't come within 12 months. When is the get takef at this point? When does the get start to tick? Right? When does the get happen? At the end of 12 months. Now, at the end of 12 months, this guy's no longer in the world.
He died before.
He died before. So you can't have a get take effect. When he's not in the world anymore. So therefore, that get wouldn't work. We're going to see a case where you could do that, and it would work.
And it can't come into effect beforehand.
Ah, that's... Like, you're getting to all the issues. See, you've learned Masechet Yevamot, now you know everything.
Yeah.
Okay, so now, listen, that's exactly what the Gemara is going to say. First of all, he could have written it in a different way. That's a separate thing. But also, some people hold, like Debbie, that it counts right away. Okay? Counts from the moment you give it.
Yeah.
And not... Okay, we'll see. There's a machloket about it.
But it's a bad thing, because then everybody could prevent Yibum if they all...
They could,
well,
but...
So if your husband's nice enough to do that for you,
right.
Think
but you wouldn't do this on a regular basis. You know, this is a case where you're saying, I'm giving you this get if I don't show up. You know, this is talking about a couple that's not living together anymore, right? They're not... He's off somewhere.
Yeah.
Right, but everybody who didn't want Yibum could do this before they went away.
Ah, before they go away, yeah.
I mean, it's like someone going to war now and saying, listen,
but people
don't
all die from going away. There's all sorts of other cases where people die. It wouldn't obliterate Yibum in general.
It's like a will.
Yeah, people did. Yes, definitely it would happen. With David HaMelech, you know, they talk about it with Batsheva. They say, oh, yeah, she got a get all tonight when Uriah went away. And they were trying to justify his behavior and saying she really wasn't married. Yeah, anyway, that's based on this kind of sugya, okay?
But not going in.
Right, Kohanim would be a problem, obviously. Because then if he... No, but again, it's...
No, because it's her, so...
What? No, it would be the same thing for...
Same thing.
Right, it's no different. It messes her up, ultimately.
Yeah.
If he does show up eventually, he can bring her back.
Yeah.
If he's not a Kohen, if he's a Kohen, he can't. So, right. Okay, anyway, let's go on. So now they say, wait. You want to say that this mission is teaching us Ein Get La Harmita? Ha Tanei La Resha. It already teaches that in the beginning part of this Mishnah. Okay, why? It says, Hare zegitech imati, hare zegitech. This is going to be your get if I die. That's a get. Hare zegitech micholi zeh. Okay? I'm reading this wrong. 1 second. Hare zegitech imati, hare zegitech micholi zeh. Hare zegitech lachar mita. Sorry, these are three cases. He said, this will be your get if I die. This will be your get if I get sick, right? If I die from this sickness. This will be your get la'achar mita after I die. Lo amar klum. Okay? It doesn't work. So now they say, so it can't be that this was teaching us ein get la'achar mita. If it's not teaching us ein get la'achar mita, then what's it teaching us? That chala, right, would be a get, which goes a get, which would basically prove, we're trying to prove Rava. The chala is not, right, I got sick, Ain onus begitin. That's not a taina. You can't use that. The get would still be good. So now they say, no. Maybe this Mishnah, again, is not coming to teach us chala. It is coming to teach us ain get la karmita, but wait, it already said in the reisha ain get la karmita. So what's it saying? Dilma la fukemi de rabotenu. De tanya ve rabotenu hitiru alina se. We have a braita that says the rabbis, in the cases we saw earlier, the rabbis would allow her to get married. And he's trying to say, no, I'm going against the rabbis, right? And I'm going to say, right? So he's basically saying, A get batel because of ain't get la karmita. But it's not coming to tell us that. But it's coming to tell us that also in this case, im lo bati. In other words, there's a different case, right? The first case of the Mishnah, which is the case we learned second, which is it says, this is your get if I die. This is your get if I get sick, right? If I die from the sickness, this is your get after I die. But they were trying to say that the case of im lo bati mikam vad shnemasar chodesh, that's a different kind of case. And if he didn't come, right, because he died, he's trying to say it's also a case of ein get la karmita against chachamim who wanted to say, why were chachamim? We're going to see in a second, okay, and then we'll get to it. Amrina mamra botenu, amra b'yudam r' Shmuel, beidina desharu mashcha, savra la k'rabbi Yosi, da'amar zmano shal shar mochiach alav. Okay, I'll learn this backwards. First, let's learn what it is, and then I'll explain how they got to it. So now, what do they say? According to chachamim, it goes by the date on the get. So if the date on the get, right, when do you write this get? You write it on, you know, let's say today's February 4th. February 4th, 2012, you write on the get, or Tu B'Shvat, right? It's Tu B'Shvat Tav Shanayin Hey. You write on the get, Tu B'Shvat Tav Shanayin Hey. And now what do you say? This will be your get if I don't show up in 12 months, exactly like Debbie said. When does this get apply? Today. In other words, if he dies later on in the year, or it doesn't show up in 12 months?
She will have been divorced
from today.
It doesn't expire. Like, this is it. Even if she puts on a, like...
Well, after 12 months, right. Either he shows up before 12 months and they throw the get in the garbage.
Yes.
Or when 12 months come and he doesn't show up for whatever reason, whether he's dead, we don't know why, the get was relevant from today.
And if he shows up for 12 months and a day?
Then it's no good. Then it's a get. In other words, they're divorced. Yeah. Okay, that's exactly what we're saying here. Okay, so now, what do they say? So now let's just go back. So who's the Rabotenu who said this? Yeah. Rabbi Yehuda and the Neim Shmuel says it was the same Beit Din that matired the Mishcha. What's Mishcha? Okay, we're going to get to this. It's in Avodah Zarah of a while. But you know this. Yei Nesef, you know, the Yayin of non-Jews, and there's Bishul Akum and there's Pat Akum. So there was a whole bunch of Gzerot they did on all sorts of things of non-Jews. One of them was they ostered their Shemen. And at a certain point, this Beit Din matired the Shemen, and this was the Beit Din of Rabbi Yehuda Nisiya. Rabbi Yehuda Nisiya is the grandson of Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. They call him Nisiya to distinguish him. He was also a Nasi, but they call him Rabbi Yehuda Nisiya to distinguish him. Anyway, he was the Beit Din that matired that, and he's the same one who said this, and he was so real like Rabbi Yossi, who says it's the Manosh Al Shtar Mochiach. Okay, so now, in the end, what's the story? We still will say now that this Mishnah teaches us Ein Get La Harmita, and it doesn't teach us anything about Ones. So therefore, you can't learn from here about Ones. Because even if you say that we already learned Ein Get La Harmita, it's coming to say that even in this case, he's saying against the Chachamim, you should agree that, right, according to you, you should agree in this case that Ein Get La Harmita, because the Get... He's saying, I disagree with Chachamim about this case. Chachamim would say the Get starts from Tu B'Shvat Tav Shanayin Hey, and I think no. So now they say ve'elam yisefa. Maybe we'll learn it from this case. Me'achshav im lobati mikam ba'ad yubet chodesh u'meit b'toch 12 chodesh harei ze get. Meit v'hu adin l'chala. Okay, so now there's another case. This is the case that Sharon was talking about. What if you say, from now, if I don't come, mikam ba'ad yubet chodesh, and you die within 12 months, harei ze get. Okay, in other words, let's say... He says, this is going to be your get from now if I don't show up in 12 months. So that's a difference of how you're menaseh, right? In that case, harei ze get. Okay? And the get will be a good get. So now what does it say? Mate, right? And what would you assume? V'hu adim l'chala. And it would also be the same for someone who's sick. In other words, again, what would you say? That ain onus begitin then. You would learn that. So they say, no, dilma mate dafka. Maybe it's only a mate, and you can't learn from a mate to a case of someone sick. Why? Why would he say this specifically only? What was the assumption? The assumption is if he's dead and it works, obviously if he's sick it would work. Yeah. They say, no. Maybe only the dead case, because in the dead case he really wants to avoid his wife having to do yibum. He doesn't like the idea of the wife having to marry his brother. And that's why he would give this case only, The whole question is, what was his intent when he said, this will be your get from now if I die, right? If I don't come. The assumption is he really meant it. What was his intent? He really meant it so that if I die, you won't have to do yibum. Okay? But he didn't mean that if I get sick and don't show up. And therefore, if he was anus and he got sick, maybe, again, we don't know. We're all just trying to figure out. Maybe it wouldn't be a get, because he'd say, listen, I was sick, I meant to, I just didn't get there.
But why would he want to divorce her if he was sick? Like, in the hopes of ever getting back to her? I mean, he was sick,
he's hoping to get, he'll get back to her eventually, and he wants to stay married to her.
Yeah, so then why would he give her a get?
Because he gave her a get in the event, really? He was expecting that maybe he was going to die. He wasn't expecting that maybe he would get sick and not show up on time.
Yeah.
Right?
So the get wouldn't be valid. I mean, that's the whole thing. Is the get valid for the moment he gives it to her? Even regardless of if he's sick or if he dies.
Right. So that's the question.
Because if it's valid, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if he's sick. It doesn't matter if he dies.
Right.
That's the point.
Right.
He doesn't show up within 12 months, regardless of the reason.
That's what Rava says. The whole issue here is, can we learn it from these Mishnayot?
Yeah.
And in the end, we can't learn it from the Mishnayot because the Mishnayot aren't clear enough. It could be just talking about a death case because maybe he was just trying to avoid Yibum. Okay?
So it has to do with his intention?
It has, right. So often when people make these tana'im, you try to figure out what was he thinking. So now let's just finish up. Maybe we'll learn it. So we can't learn it from the Mishnayot there. So maybe we can learn it from a bright, from a case that happened in the time of the Amorim. Hahu de'amra lehu. He said to the people around, like Adim, Ilo atina mikam v'altaltin yomin lehavi gita. Okay, he says, if I don't show up in 30 days, this will be a get. He shows up after 30 days, upaske mabra, but he's stuck across the river and he can't get there. Amarlu, chazu datai, I'm coming, don't you see I'm here? See that I'm here. Amar Shmuel, lav shmei matya. This is not considered that you're there. You didn't show up. Right? This is great. Like, how many times do we show up, like, just too late? So now they say, no, you can't learn it from here either. Dilma unse deshchiach shane. Here's a great claim. They say maybe this is like a typical, right? That's what I said. This is a typical case of onus, right? You're like almost there. How often do you come just a drop late?
Yeah.
So if he knew that was going to be an option, because he knows he's always shows up 5 minutes late, right? So if he knew that would be a possibility, he should have included it in his tonight. He should have said, if I don't show up within 30 days, or I'm like within range, or right, or I'm very close, or something like that. And because he did it, it's his tough luck. Okay? So now, Amar Rava, here's the clincher. So in the end, he can't learn it from that story either. So it doesn't teach you anything about onus. But Rava says, here it is. Svara de nafshe kamar. He says his own logic. Mishum tsniut, mishum prutsot, mishum... mishum tsniut, mishum prutsot. It's because of tsniut women, and it's because of prutsot women.
I think we skipped a couple of pages. But Dilma, no?
No, but Dilma onse d'shchiach shane. It's a typical onus.
Okay.
And since he should have made a tanai about it, and
okay,
he didn't,
sorry.
He messed it up.
Okay.
Anyway, El Rav Svar Dinafshe, Kamar Mishum Tznuot and Mishum Prutso. Maybe we'll leave you here. Tomorrow we'll explain it. Leave you in suspense.
Yeah, but interesting.